This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A beautiful day here in Hawaii, eh? And I'm just quite excited about getting going and talking about some of the things that I mentioned in the past and wanted to update, and quite a few of them. And one of them primarily is that I must talk about this, and I think, you know, it probably will explain or give a small insight or a bit of information as to why we saw the national voting go the way it did, with a lot of them voting Republican. And I think it has to do with you and I and others are just fed up with this party called the Democratic Party, or the Democrat Party, whatever you want to call them. And they are not responsive. They are not responsible. They are not, they don't want to be accountable. And they do anything and everything that they want to do. Nothing to do with the needs and the wishes of the people. And so there's this example here recently. The HUD actually waives, or basically is going to forgive the $2.9 million that, if you recall, there was an $8 million fund that was for affordable housings and what have you, CDB. So anyway, the situation was that there's this company or organization called ORI, as you know, was out there, and in Wahiwa area, Helimanu, and that organization got lots of money. But we also found that a lot of that money was given, some of the money, or the parties receiving the grants were giving back some of the monies or monies to Arnie Martin and Mufi Hanneman and others. And if you recall, back in January 12th of this year, I actually did a story on this. And in doing so, I want to share some of the... We found that, and we contacted HUD, and informed them what we had found, and talked about the actual misspending, misdirection, unaccounting of the monies and what have you. And HUD was quite concerned and said that they would definitely investigate this and hold the state or the city's feet to the fire. And I pulled up a letter that I wrote to Mark A. Chandler. And as I said, I've been a little fragmented here, but as I say, this will give you the reason why maybe nationally we saw why we voted the way we did. We're just sick and tired, I think. And I think the same thing would apply for any party. But this letter, January 7th, and I'll read, it was regarding a workout agreement and action timeliness test. This is my letter to Mr. Mark A. Chandler, Director, CPD, HUD. I asked Chandler, has the mayor formally consulted with the United States Housing Urban Development on the sale of the city's affordable housing? If yes, when and what is HUD's position on the sale? He writes back, for over 8 years, the city has off and on discussed the city affordable housing sale with HUD. In regards to the current issue being reported in the media related to the buyer and the financing issue, the city has not discussed in detail its plan. He wrote in deal, so I apologize. And in the next question was, is the city required to consult HUD prior to selling its affordable housing? The city must ensure CDBG and home program compliance. Any issues involving or impact program compliance will need to be discussed with HUD. Now, mind you, all the way from San Francisco, they assured me that they were going to hold the city's feet to the fire, and they were going to get that money back, and they were going to make sure that it was spent in the proper way, and that they were going to investigate the handling of the money to ORI and all of that. They were going to do all of that. And so I ask again, how much money did the city receive from HUD in July 2012, and how much money received in the 2012 budget has been spent? The city was allocated $7,530,357 in 2012 in CDBG grant funds. To date, $3.5 million has been expended. How much did the city receive from HUD in July 2013, I ask? How much money received in the budget of 2013 and how much has been spent? Again, for that period, $7,817,498. In CDBG funds. To date, none of the funds have been spent. Or he said sent. Did the city spending of the money received in 2012-2013 meet the, quote, action timeliness test? If no, please provide specifics. Their answer, CDB funds, when expended, count towards timeliness. The expenditure of the FY12 funds helps toward meeting timeliness. And can the city lend its money? Well, without specific details on proposed, they answer, use of the funds to assist with the property acquisition, we are unable to answer this question at this time. but they would investigate it and get back to me, giving me answers. Now, this is this this party that's being headed by Obama. They're all so secure that they will take an action, give taxpayers dollars to address matters that taxpayers concerns, and in turn do absolutely nothing. They lie about it. The regulator, which is HUD in this case, lies about it. They say that they're going to thank you for bringing it to our attention. We have concerns. We're going to look into it, and we're going to hold people accountable within the city. But instead, they just say we're going to forgive the money now, almost 11 months later. Is it true that the city failed to spend timely and failed to meet HUD's action timeliness test? Yes, the city failed the CDBG timeliness test last year, thus placing funds at risk this year. If it should be, it should fail timeliness again. Is it true that the city must spend a certain portion of the money received by HUD by May of this year, 2014? Yes, that is true, it states. And is there any truth to the claim that the city has entered into a workout agreement with HUD because the city failed to spend money it received from HUD consistent? If yes, please provide specifics. And they say it's not true. The city failed to enter into a workout agreement with HUD. The city was given the opportunity to enter into a workout agreement, but because it did not respond for several months to the proposed plan, the workout agreement was changed to a workout plan issued by HUD directing the city to comply. Now, that may sound unimportant, but it bothers me as a taxpayer and as a citizen to say that you have federal monies, which is taxpayers' dollars, and these monies are supposed to be directed to the address the issues of the people and spent properly. Instead, the money is diverted to actions and activities like ORI and others, and they admit that they did not account for it. And they then proceed to say that they're going to punish the city and make sure that the city pays back the money. But then, 11 months later, they are not punishing anyone and have decided to give just unobstructed access to this money, $2.9 million. And it's something's wrong here. But I guess when you're in the party in control, and as painful as it appears and it feels to see the Republicans take such great steps and gain such footing, I'm somewhat pleased because apparently the Democrats have just come to the point where it's their government and it's not our government. We should kiss their coli and their hands when we see them. And that's the kind of feeling you get now. They are in place. This guy Chandler, for example, writes very strong letters and make strong promises that he's going to make sure that the city adhere to the rules of the road. And in return, what do we get? Some underhanded behavior where there is no investigation, there is no accountability. I even shared with HUD the fact that people working in the office at the CDBG grant office there informed me that they were ordered to come in and shred documents related to this. And that is a problem. What did HUD do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That office lied under Sam Moku and others. That office dragged their feet and gave monies in other grants and weren't accountable, and people did not qualify for them, did not follow through accounting of the expenditures or anything. And so this gentleman, Chandler, is, I don't know if he's just carrying out the wishes of the party, but this money, it is absolutely, and I'm going to point out that I think Gordon Payne wrote an article, and I'm just not going to quote much of his stuff, but he's quoting Ember Shin, the managing director of the city, Kurt Caldwell's, and this is what she said. The news conference that said that the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development money would be used to fund several other high-profile city projects under an administrative order by HUD. Now, how could HUD tell me and others that they're going to investigate this and they're going to make sure that there's accountability on the part of the city and the city will be made to pay it back? And now they've huddled together and to say, we're going to basically inoculate you from any punishment. We're going to protect you from any punishment or anything for having misbehaved with all of this federal money. And she says that these projects in this article, they are purchasing of land, designing and planning for a new Haula Fire Station, $1.4 million, paying for staffing for a new affordable housing office of $576,000, and creating a public shower and other services for homeless out of the city, the city's Pauahi Hale Affordable Housing Project in Chinatown for $930,000. Let's go back for a minute. Let's go back for a minute and ask this question. If this money was set aside and it was for homelessness and affordable homes and the CDBG grant, and you can spend it on anything, and we mentioned that that early on to talk about the letters that were written on December 13, 2013 and December 6 to Caldwell from Chandler, from HUD. And in that, we talked about the actual building or monies being used for a fire station. Here's what I think. That they never intended to comply with the conditions of acquiring the money originally. I believe that with all of the development that is occurring, that is proposed out there at Laie and Gunstock Ranch in that area, Malai Kahana, I believe that the city, via Mufi Hanneman, who introduced this kind of activity, and Caldwell and Carlisle, I believe that as a favor, or I don't know what you would call it, they will build this humongous fire station in Haula, so that it would service the new development and the hotels and all of that and the emergency services that they need. I believe that in Laie, they should be required to build their own fire station. Now, I can't say these are factual, but it sure points that they were so aggressive in how they went at the condemnation or threatening to condemn the land and taking it from Chun James. Good morning, caller. You have a comment, a question?
Good morning, Carol. I'm sorry I was a little bit late. You wanted me to call in.
Okay. Hi, Chun. How are you?
Hi. This is Chun James, and I just listened to you a little bit. You know, I am just as aggravated. Let me just make a few points. You know, we all know that the environmental assessment for the Haula Fire to relocate the Haula Fire Station, mm-hmm. it stated that there will be no for now, you know, no increased personnel, and there's so many people who are against it because this is on the last two commercial lot, and a lot now. This is the most ironic part. This is where the recycling is provided, and a lot of people use recycling just to help make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, a lot of homeless people there recycle every day so that they can afford a hot meal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading some of the materials that Mark Chandler from HUD was providing to the city since August 11. And to me, again, you know, this is just total fiscal insanity.
Mm-hmm.
What they want to do, essentially, I think that Mayor Caldwell is using federal funds as his own piggy bank.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as if that he does not need to answer to the public or there is no need for public scrutiny. He's just going to do what he wants to do because he has the big political, well, maybe not political, but you know, the big city hall machine behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my opinion, he's just asking the people to eat cake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when there's so much homeless problems, the mayor is set, you know, on kicking the homeless people out. You cannot sit and lie in Waikiki. If you do, they're going to fine them $1,000. And mm-hmm. then here, on the other hand, in Haula, instead of helping, you know, the people improve their life a little bit, he is fighting tooth and nail to build this Neiman Marcus fire station to relocate the existing fire station, and at such expense, it is just incredibly stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just does not make sense that on one hand, you know, he says he's all for the homeless and he's begging for funds. He doesn't have enough money. And then here in a little rural community that is fighting tooth and nail against him, you know, for building this Ever Beach fire station model. That's what he wants. He wants the Ever Beach fire station model in Hauula. Mm-hmm.
Now, just so that the listeners will know, and the land in which this fire station would be situated is land that is owned by you, right?
Okay. Now, there are two pieces. The last two pieces are commercial land.
Mm-hmm.
They're both about half an acre.
Right. But, I mean, I want to establish so the listeners don't think that we're pulling the wool over their eyes.
That's right.
Of disclosure.
Yeah.
And you've agreed or settled out, but you're still in a legal action with them about that land and the settlement, or apparently there was a settlement that the article refers to it. But the things that I'm interested in, I don't have access to the documents that Chandler has been working out, but he assured me that he would keep me apprised because I had talked about this at great length and had written him letters and ridden San Francisco, but apparently in order to hide the truth and hide the underhanded work that's going on, and they knew they weren't going to punish Ernie Martin, they knew they weren't going to punish Caldwell, and they knew that they were going to give them what they want. As they talk big, but they were going to be the regulators. This is what he told me, and we're going to make sure we hold their feet to the fire on this one. And then to learn that they go ahead and give them authority to abuse the remaining portion of the money without even demanding an explanation or counting of the remaining, $6 million, $7 million? Because it's 2.9 that they're going to go ahead and allow them to spend. So the other, what, seven or something? Or what was the total amount ORI got?
You know, I'm sorry. I don't have experience with ORI.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to clarify a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now we know, okay, now we know that the city received some sort of arrangement with HUD on August 11th of this year.
Do you have a letter, or you can read a portion of that? Tell us, give us some sense of what specifically. I just hate just chatting about there is something in the box, but what is in the box? If you have that letter, can you share with us a portion?
I have it on my computer right now. And I also want to say, you know, we have a conditional settlement, and
mm-hmm.
I trust I trust Judge Rhonda Nishimura. That was the best we could do. Because it was very last minute, October 31st, that was the deadline that HUD gave the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so the city, but the HUD gave the city, told the city since August 11th. Mm-hmm. But they waited and waited to the very last minute. In fact, I had to return home from the mainland, because of this. And to me, the city attorney, misrepresented and withheld information, and that's another story there. Mm-hmm. But right now, on the 31st, we had a conditional settlement that has to be approved, and I hope vetted by Judge Nishimura. I feel that is the only avenue we have to at least present our concerns and with the whole process. And she's the only judge that knows what's going on because she has studied the issues and things like that.
Mm-hmm. But that's But that's
okay.
Outside of what HUD and the city did, when in fact HUD gave the money for specific reasons initially.
Yeah, and I again have the very same problem. I've been saying it all this time, is that in 2009, when HUD obtained $1 million to try to acquire the last commercial lot in mm-hmm. Hola, nobody knew about it. Nobody knew about it. And then when we learned more a little bit, HUD requisites mm-hmm. has to have public participation. The public has to know what is going to happen to them. And again, they're making, in my opinion, the city is making the same violation again. Here they are transferring more funds from, OI, which I don't know much about, to this Haula fire station project that most other people do not want. And yet again, they're doing it unilaterally without letting the people know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same. There's just absolutely no public scrutiny or no public participation, which is part of a very basic requisite of any HUD funds that were used.
Yeah, but again, with HUD being the regulator and the one who's giving the money and require the city to show accounting, for them to just abandon the role of regulator and just hand the money over and forgive all of the bad things done, that's something that speaks of politics, and we don't give a damn about the public. No matter what it looks like or feel like, we're going to do it our way. And I'm really curious as to how did we arrive at that, and that's why I say it's about time. I'm so glad that the voters in around the nation handed the Democratic Party their butts in their hand, because they know that with behavior like this, it repeats itself throughout the states and throughout cities in the United States. They've gotten so arrogant that no longer does the law or the rules apply anymore. It's all about let's get our projects and full speed ahead and the hell with the public.
Well, I totally agree with you. And on top of that, now, this process, and I don't know if you know, but Kurt Caldwell has been a bully. Since he became the mayor,
mm-hmm.
he has actually dispatched twice. I have a couple free speech signs that say Hawaii eminent domain abuse, for people to look mm-hmm. at YouTube. And he has, let's say in October, he dispatched 6 armed policemen, a dozen city workers, 1 front end loader, and 1 commercial truck to come into our property, which the judge has not even ruled yet, to take down our signs. And on top of that, I had, now, he did this on in May, and we filed a lawsuit in the federal court. Then he did it again in October. And then a few days in October, he again came back, and we had a recycling lease with Reynolds, you know, on our lot, 65.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and put a sign that said, no trespassing, you know, violators will be prosecuted, right in the middle of the road to our business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so because he came on a Monday when recycling is always closed, so the next day, you know, his interference made our business shut down. Reynolds couldn't operate. And so the people of Haula were really angry, and they kept calling him and calling him. And later he talked to the same people and told them to come on the adjacent site, which the city bought in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so essentially we have big government bullying with armed policemen, you know, shutting down our business. And then when the people complain, he just asked them to go to the next lot, which they bought, which is, you know, incidentally, is sufficient enough for them to build a regular fire station.
Mm-hmm.
19,000 square feet is the typical lot size for a typical fire station. But he wants our lot in order to build a humongous Neiman Marcus, you know, fire station that is modeled after the Ever Beach fire station.
Well, but we speak about that, but what would be the motivation? And as I've said earlier, finish my point there, if you would. I've said earlier that why would you build such a massive fire station when one small one would be sufficient based on what is there now and the need, unless you know that there's going to be major development on that side, and so instead of taxing or tasking the developers of the Lae community or whatever it is, a gun stock in those areas, making them provide their own fire or at least contribute to the infrastructure and the emergency services, because what is going to happen by building hotels and all of the adventures that are going to have there and the school or increased population, it's going to tax the existing fire station. So maybe Caldwell and Hanneman and all of those guys, this is part of the scheme to take federal monies to supplement the development out there in Lae or out there at Gunstock.
Well, I mostly in Lae, I do my business in Lae, and you know, to me, it just absolutely makes no sense. Let me just throw out a few census figures for you. You know, Ka'ava has about 1,300 people on record, and Haula has about 4,000 people on record.
Mm-hmm.
Kahuku has about 2,500 people on record. And all the small communities already have a fire station, okay? And Lae that has on record a population about 6,000 never had a fire station.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So even if we're just talking about just, you know, cut out all the politics and whatever, we're talking about fire safety. Doesn't it make sense that the community that is the biggest and that now has the biggest explosion of development, there are like four new dormitories, you see the huge, you know, Marriott courtyard coming up, and, mm-hmm. You know, PCC has thousands of people. And yet, if we're talking about fire safety, why is the city not putting a fire station in Lae yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've debated back in 2010. You were on the show and with Marvin Isecki, and we were talking about the same things. And
yeah.
I've made a link. I will be making a link to those shows, and so that we don't sound like we're just wound up and walking in circles and talking in circles.
Yeah.
This is a reality, and what's so disappointing is that while you, Chun, and others out there in the North Shore community, we struggle to get to find this information out because it wasn't readily available. We find it out, we contact HUD, inform HUD, and we get promises that thank you for bringing it to our attention, and we will lower the boom on these guys. We will punish them, and we will hold them accountable. And now, months later, years, 3 years later, 4 years later, they're giving away the candy shop and never sent a single letter to our show or to me, and I've inquired on numerous occasions. So
yeah,
I believe that the cover-up, the arrogance, I say that I'm hoping that that wind blows this way where they vote. I don't care if they put Mickey Mouse in a suit and call him a Republican, a Libertarian. Folks, this is the best example of showing where through this administration, Obama is a great man and a good man, we hope. But when all this kind of blatantly, they lie to you and they take tax dollars, federal monies, and then misdirect it and misspend it, and no consequences.
Yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from because it does not make sense. Let me just add one more, okay? In where we are, Ko'olauloa, we are all serviced by the only arterial two-way road called the Cam Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are used to getting cut off, okay? That, you know, we communities get isolated and cut off very easily when there's a telephone pole that falls, or when there's heavy surf, or when there's an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens all the time. And so there's been a lot of time where you know, we have to drive around the whole island to get to where we are. In fact, last year my husband was coming home and a telephone pole just fell. You know, and that cut off Laie from Haula.
They call that a drop call. No, I'm sorry.
But so again, you know, if we are talking about really, really sincerely talking about public safety, Laie needs the fire station today because we pay taxes too, right? And we are vulnerable. I mean, if something happens, you know, the fire engine cannot come from Haula or cannot come from Kahuku, then what? You know?
Yeah. I remember a couple poles, or one or two, fell right there at where Wyland lives in that little gated community there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You couldn't, I mean, it was, traffic was dead. You had to go all the way back around town to...
Yeah, and it happens all the time. It's not that, and we understand because we choose to live here, so we're not really... vigorously complaining about it, but we just want city to have some common sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, for example, let me give you one more.
Go ahead.
I am on the Ko'olauloa Sustainable Communities Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for the city to cut and paste something from EVA development plan, and you know, to put the EVA Beach fire station in Haula is against the plan, you know? And so when we complain, guess what the city attorneys did? They hired a architect from Oakland, California.
Mm-hmm.
And that architect from Oakland, California, I don't know how much they pay them, but I'm sure it's quite a bit. You know, then say that, oh, this model is just perfect for Haula, and it's just a trend of the nation. And that's the kind of baloney that we have to put up with because, you know, I just came back from Seattle and from Utah. Those communities have brand new fire station and they're very small. So it just, what is so irritating is that bureaucrats can just fill in the blanks. I mean, they can put any stupid explanation on fill in the blanks, and then they submit it to any authority and never question.
Well, what I might take away from what is happening with this situation is that Caldwell gets to operate and the city council get to operate freely without any accounting or any responsibility. And their program of addressing the homeless issue and affordable homes issues are going to be with us as people in this city forever, because he gets to skate. He gets to get all of this money and give it to his friends and whatever special interests and be able to sit there comfortably without being challenged, without anything. And so the people's work isn't done, but he's apparently done the work for himself. And then he's able to come then and fail policies on the expenditures and monies received from HUD, failing to even use the money in some instances, failing to report it, and then is able to come on TV and says, well, I'm going to make a new law today to chase the people around, get them out of the parks. But we tolerate him his failed policies and his ability or inability to manage as a city manager. There's something wrong, folks.
I agree with you. Now I have to state that, you know, with the Haula fire station controversy, the city council has been responsive, that they have deleted and defunded the project for 5 years now. Okay? And yet, you know, the mayor continues to bully in court, and I don't understand how it works. But it's definitely not for public purpose, because there have been times where the city attorney has said, we're not quite sure whether we want to move this on or not. You know, just give us some time. And that's part of the reason why the eminent domain have dragged on so long. It's because the city itself don't know, you know, whether they should proceed or not.
Now,
so you can say that it's eminent by necessity if you don't know whether you want to proceed or not.
Yeah. Well, my going back a bit, when you mentioned the city council has been defunding or refusing to fund this. Well, that's fine and dandy. That's a safe mode. That's like I vote with reservations. Yes, you know. No, you either support it or you don't. Some of these guys, you look at their history of voting, it's always with reservations, or Ann Kobayashi is good for that, with reservation. What the hell does that mean when there's these issues? What are you reserved about? But here's the problem. If they have challenges and not funded the program, what is the city council going to do about the monies that have been squandered by the city that is now forgiven by HUD?
If
they disagree, they were not funding it because they didn't agree that this facility should be built in such this large facility. If that's true, then they should be very verbose about and speaking out and objecting to this current plan that an agreement that HUD is allowing the city to assist or participate in, right? So,
yeah,
but here's the problem. The chairman of that city council that you spoke about is doing so good job of defunding and not funding it is part of the problem. He diverted some of the money himself and was instrumental in getting some of the money to ORI. So we're sitting here with our fingers stuck, and we want to point our fingers, but we can't, because they're all corrupt. Every single one of them. I even wrote a letter asking that Arnie Martin resign because of his earlier dealings with, in fact, in his actions with CDBG grants. So when we say the city council did not fund purposely, well, now there's a new baby at the doorstep. What are they going to do about this one? Are they going to write a letter objecting? Are they going to protest HUD and ask for an investigation? Or are they going to vote with reservation?
Yeah, based on my experience that they have unanimously done it all these years, it's my observation that Amber Sheen, you know, the city managing director, just told them late Friday before the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the weekend, so I don't have, I'm certainly going to research about it, but that's all I know is that, you know, the Amber Shin told them just before her press conference, which to me is doesn't seem right either, because we have a conditional settlement and the judge has to, you know, has to preside over it, and, you know, we want to make our, I mean, you know, all those new information known to her, and already they're doing a press conference. You know, to me that's unfair to the public.
You mean the press conference? But that's isn't
Friday.
That the
they had the press conference Friday, and that's how I knew about all this thing.
Right. Well, but this is typical and consistent with the way this Caldwell machine is working. They believe that you take, for example, the sewage treatment plant with the major spill interior in the interior of the plant. Well, it occurred days earlier, but then he comes out and. In the vein of being transparent to the public, he wanted to let the public know. But the reality is, the public should be more concerned with how the hell did this happen, Mr. Mayor? How do you have people that would that are professionally trained and we pay them beautifully, big sums of money, and how did this happen? So it's hurrying to the microphone. Sounding as if he's honest to alert you, but in reality it's part of the ruse, you see, not telling you anything but claiming he's telling you everything.
Yeah, I totally agree with him. I've been observing him, you know, for this past almost 3 years, and there is a word that the social media uses for him, and that is called political stagecraft. And it seems that, I mean, if you notice, he has a traveling pulpit. You know, he holds his press conference anywhere, you know, on the beach, under the sidewalk, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe he thinks that the, you know, this low information voters, you know, just because he says it from that political stage crafting, that's the truth and nothing else matters.
Right. And again, there are others, though, in the city council, the checks and balances. They know stupid when they see it, but how is it that they react? They know conniving and when a person is telling the truth or it's just a machine in motion. They know these things, but what do they do? You know, they say, well, we object, but then at the end of the day, he gets what he wants. If right down to the little silly laws about urinating in public and what have you, but no aggressive. The other shoe doesn't fall where they hold him accountable. Well, then do something to reduce, place outhouses or portable potties strategically in certain areas. Well, no, we can't do that because that's going to encourage people to come, homeless to come. You see, people don't gravitate to outhouses. People are homeless because of failed policies that are put in place and practices by people like Caldwell. That's why people are homeless, right?
Well, you know, when you're talking with the homeless, I think just look at the recent Sand Island internment camp. And here you are, you know, you want to, again, punish the most vulnerable people in society. And, you know, and I totally understand that tourism is part of our economy and we want to contribute to that. But when you keep persecuting the most vulnerable by saying that, oh, you cannot lie and you cannot sleep there or we're going to charge you, you know, $1,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. But, and then, you know, with that, you should provide an option. And so they came up with a Sand Island site.
Mm-hmm.
And what was more interesting was that as you watch it evolve, you know, it just gets more crazy every time they say things, you know, and that lady who's in charge of it, partly in charge of it, has already resigned. Mm-hmm. But it's to a point where...
Who's that? Pam Whitty Oakland, was it?
Yeah, that's the lady. And it's to a point where they, you know they lie because they say that what we came up with, we studied 25 sites, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And up to today, they refuse to reveal where the 25 sites are.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they chose the Sand Island, you know, they said, oh, you know, I mean, if you have studied the site, why are they now wanting to rescind it? Because of toxic problems, it was a dump site, it was an ash containment site before. I mean, mm-hmm. if you have studied, why are you now having problems?
Right. Well, we're going to take a break and come back in the next 5 minutes. I've got about two more minutes left here, but keep in mind, I love it, and it's frustrating when I see people, they talk about the homeless issue, the homeless issue. The homeless issue is just but a symptom of failed policies. It's the result of failed policies, and the homeless isn't being impacted like the people with homes, because the people with homes are the one who's being drained and taxed and lied to. So, you know, if I could just bring people's attention back to failed policies and remind them that people homeless and on the streets and sleeping on the sidewalk is not the problem of the homeless people, but it's a problem of the people with homes who dare not question and call and buy into this junk that this guy is selling, that Carl Caldwell, that he claim he's managing, when in fact it's nothing to do with management. And I'm going to talk in length about those sites that are you talk about at the area where they're in Sand Island, because some of us don't know that that site contained PCBs. They used to store transformers there, PCBs. They burned cars there and salvaged cars under the city project. And some years back, I exposed that issue. And so, again, what we're really seeing is an opportunity to see what this guy Caldwell is about. He's about nothing, folks. It's all smoke and mirrors.
But he said he has studied 25 sites, including this one, you know.
Well, he can't count to 25. it's a lie, and he studied 20. You know, studied. What did he do? Give a thought for 5 minutes. But we're going to go beyond that and talk about this guy, and hold him accountable. And maybe he's winning now, but come election time, I hope to have portrayed him in the real true menace that he is to the voters here in Hawaii. It's not about a low voter count. It's about a guy being able to pop up on TV and lie to you and never be challenged. But these are failed policies. The homeless are here. You failed. You have money. Your director of Pam Whitty Oakland said, we're not going to accept this money. We're not going to use this money. We're not going to give it to nonprofits. You understand? And yet,
yeah, but he wants his Neiman Marcus fire station that nobody wants in Haula.
But we'll be back, and you're welcome to call back in the next hour. We're going to take a break. And this is a Carol Cox Show. You can pick us up at carolcox.com, live internet, or KWAI 1080 AM. We'll be back shortly.
Got to work, let us sleep all day. Here come Tuesday, oh Tuesday, I'm so tired, got no time to play. Now here come Wednesday, I'm beating my socks. My girl called, got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day, it's Friday I'll get my feet.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Well, my mom loved me, said all along. Well, my mom loved me, all alone. I'm judging wrong. I was booking home. Yeah. One night I laying down. I heard Mama and Papa talking. Papa tell Mama, little boy Boogie, enemy, gotta come out. I'm bad no good, but I'm Boogie just the same.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Good morning again and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Just sitting here talking about the various things, homelessness and people pulling the wool over our eyes and government and the failure on the part of HUD to reclaim and punish, reclaim monies, millions, from the city and county of Honolulu, and then waving and basically in bed. They're spending big with our dollars and no accountability. But hey, I want to share something with you. Again, I don't particularly care about this. This is not a commercial, but I had the experience, occasion, to go over in Kailua, and you folks might be interested in this. There's a place called Crepes No Ka'oi, and if you want a different angle to breakfast, I would encourage you to go over there. I had the occasion to go there yesterday, and my goodness, man, you talking about good food. This is not a paid commercial. It was so good, it caused me to want to come in and tell you guys about it. So the address over there, it's called Crepes Nakaoi, and it's owned by Chris and Kake Tavid. Right there by Target, it's at 143 Hikili Street. And if I was you, you want to see a different twist of breakfast, man. I'm talking about good. I had the vegetarian crepe, and I didn't want to leave the table. If you know what I mean. It was just that good. So I would encourage you. I didn't get to go through the desserts yet, but I am going to go back. So anyway, that's just something I'm sharing with you. That's not a paid commercial. So that's to tell you how good it was. If you're willing to talk about it for free, it was good. So go have a checkout and then call them up, 263-4088. And it's good food, man. So aloha and take care. Anyway, talking about our friends and places, and I have these letters, but go to carolcox.com if you're interested. Don't take my word for it. I love the chat and ramble, but I also believe first that documents. It's not what I say. It's what they say, and then you lay it out here, and my concern with this is that I think the greatest struggle for me to understand any of this is that where is it that the taxpayer, like you and I out here, when do we get mad and say, oh, come on, guy, this is all crap that you're preaching, because you tell us that the system is broken, you tell us that others are contributing to the broken system, but we voted for you because you said that you could fix it. We knew that it was broken. We knew we had homelessness. We knew we had all of these problems. But we put our money on your back to say, here, go take care of our problems. And in your manner in which you're handling our problems and addressing them, they seem to be exacerbated with your ability to take the smoke and mirrors and instead of fixing the problem, you want to preach to us and tell us how bad it is. We need, as voters, we need to hold someone accountable and say enough already. This is insanity. We don't need you chasing homeless people around. We don't need it. Just fix the damn problem. You got millions and millions of dollars that you've squandered and you can't pay and you're handing it to your friends and you have the audacity to show up on the evening news to tell us how bad it is. Are we insane as voters? We have a mental illness, I believe. We've become the Stockholm Syndrome. We just believe in what this guy is preaching or believe in what these politicians are preaching. We have control, but there's nowhere on this planet that where people will tolerate the manager of the city coming and telling you how badly things are broken, but he promised how good he could fix them. It doesn't work. Paula, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Hello, Carol. I'm just listening in. This is Chun James from Olaoloa.
Okay, hold on right there. There's another. Paula, good morning. You have a comment or question?
Oh, hi, Carol. I love your former colleague. She should run for office. Except you don't want to run for office.
Run from office.
You'll be part of the gang. Anyway, just real short, because I love listening to your conversation. But I was just thinking of Kurt Caldwell. Yeah, he's made this big thing about, we got the homeless the Housing First program. We're gonna get all the chronic people off the what do they call it? That's corruption. what a public gimmick that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so pathetic. They have around $3 million for this. Each one of these Housing First, if they can find the apartment owners to mm-hmm. rent out to them, it's something like $50,000 a piece. And the thing is that they're not even getting close. You know what I call it? It's statistical fraud. You know, they have this point in time of count of the homeless every year, and that is so far off. I have yet to find one person that I know that is homeless that said they were counted. And anyway, so they're going to take about 100. They said they're going to do about 100 people that are chronically homeless, and to get them housing. But here's another thing. That's if they can have a commitment of multi-year funding. I mean, there's $3 million for this year, and but then there's the next year, and they're going to have to say, well, we can't afford it. So guess where these people are going to be? These chronic homelessness that for the first time in 20 years had a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be back on the streets.
This is why I was placing emphasis on these letters that written by HUD. It states to the city in English, in the English language, that you fail. You have money that you have not spent, and that he's willing to then turn around, and we know that he's not spending the money. These letters state that he should be compelled to spend it on projects that he got the money originally for, but instead they just leave it sitting. And in turn, he's able to come back and tell us that the number of homeless people has increased, and he needs a bigger stick to beat them.
Yeah.
You know, you understand?
Oh yeah.
We are probably as voters, and I'm part of that problem because I haven't done anything either. But I think we're numb. I would rather see people on cocaine or some opiate than to see the voters who sit around and we turn on the evening news and we watch this guy perpetuate this big lie and nobody say, look, damn it, you fail. You can't manage anything. Get away. Go away. You don't run for office. And if you do, we won't vote for you.
Well, you know, I approached Mr. Mayor one time. I said, Mayor, you know, this whole homeless scam you have is a fraud. And he ran away fast.
Mm-hmm. Here, listen to this. Now, this is a December 6, 2013 letter from Chandler, the really heavy-handed, steel-fisted, steel-jawed federal government. that's going to hold these guys and pray, give the taxpayers money to these guys like Caldwell, and they fail. And this is a really strong letter. As a result, the city's program now falls under the sanctions policy enunciated in the department's letter of November 2021, enclosed. According to the policy, grantees that become newly untimely, beginning with those grantees with program years starting February 1, 2002 and later, have 12 months to their next 60-day test to reach the, you know, and, I mean, to great details of managing the money. And then when they are found to be mismanaging it and not spending it, HUD goes, oh, well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I really think the whole deal is what you have is bureaucrats that are waiting for their darn retirement, and they really are pretty lazy. They just do the minimum they can get away with, and then this is what we have. This is the result, you know. But
again, the sad commentary is money is being placed in a coffer for specific purposes to address affordable homes, and they're not even spending the money. We've emphasized that on other shows. They don't even spend the money. And when they do, they give it to their friends. And then when they are caught with their hands in the cookie jar, the regulator, the enforcer, HUD, says, no problem. Go ahead and continue to rip them off. Something's wrong.
I'm not much accountable. I mean, I'm on this Housing First program. I'd like to know what the statistics are on that. You know, that just started in October. You know, Carol, I got interviewed for that. And then the outreach worker, she said, we're looking from chronic homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And that means basically you're close to your life is quite threatened, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The first question they ask you, how many times have you been jailed in the last 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what kind of drugs and alcohol?
Well, let me hold on. Yeah. If you're asked that, this is what I can imagine a person being interviewed. How many times have you been put in jail? What, you mean since Caldwell went? Well, I was put in jail for urinating on a bush. I urinated near the beach. You mean those kinds? That kind? Or what kind of arrest do you think, you know? Who would tolerate this? I mean, we're sensible people. Who would tolerate, even in football coaching, you're going to have to show you can win eventually, or they're going to cut your head off and send you down the drain. You're fired, right? This guy can orchestrate failed policy, implement them, fail. We see increase in population of homelessness, and then he tries to sell the existing home, the affordable homes, and then turn around and say, well, they're pissing on the street. You know, we got to arrest them. I'm sorry.
Here's what's going to happen, too. You know, this Housing First thing, these people shouldn't complain.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that becomes a jail in itself, the Housing First program. Because what happens is people don't realize it, but you are going to be, you know, this is not free, this Housing First. People think, oh, man, they're going to pay their rent and everything. 30% of your measly disability check is going to go into this housing. It's going to be taken away from you.
Yeah.
So that's going to make you basically in poverty. In a way, you're almost better, I mean, economically, better to be on the street because you'll have that extra $300 or $400 that can buy you food and other things.
I understand that Caldwell was actually going to be creating a new agency within the city government. And it was going to be part of his prowess and part of the public, and it's going to be called the Department of Piss and Vinegar. You see, that's what he's about. And I'm sorry, folks, if you don't like it, tune off. I won't know you there or not. I'm just telling you, this is insanity where a man can have such careless, reckless behavior, display it openly, and then turn and lie to you and say, look, it's not what you think it is.
Can I tell you something about another? I think it really needs to get out of the public. I frequent the Waipahu Transit Center there.
Mm-hmm.
And have you gone there and seen this restroom? This is okay. Here's what was laughable. They have a guard from 5 in the morning to 10 at night, and then they lock the bathroom, the restroom. Have you ever been in that place? It smells, it reeks of urine and doo-doo. And this guard is sitting there, doing nothing, sitting on a chair, guarding this bathroom. I imagine they clean about once a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that, I don't know if they ever clean it. I mean, I would never, I didn't go pee in there. I couldn't do it.
Well, you take, for example, you're raising another issue that supports what I'm speaking about this morning, the failed policies of government. And that is, at some point, when you place a restroom and in place and people are going to use it, it has to be upkept. There has to be upkeep and cleanliness, right? So the health department should come in and do inspections. Or the city has its own inspections. So you see the fail policy. If you can walk in and find a restroom in that bad of a condition, that then speaks again to the fail policy. Yeah, I know where people, even people with homes will stop in there if it's never clean. Guess what?
You're
going to
pee in the bush.
Yeah.
I'd rather pee in the bush.
But anyway, I hope that you folks go to carolcox.com and look at some of these letters and be concerned that HUD would bother to have a staff to manage right down to the last nickel and put in place rules and guidance and reviews and what have you, and professionals to extrapolate, and then when it comes down to it, it's misspent, and they go, oh, well, no problem. So we either need to just get rid of HUD, because this will, once again, the war on homelessness will be a failed policy, and the war to create affordable homes is never going to take place when you've got a guy masquerading, and we're not hearing about his failures on the rail. We're not hearing how he's the overruns and the overcosts and whatever. We don't see that, you see. So this is a big lie being perpetrated on us and the city council. I say I'm looking down the line and saying there's two people that will never get my vote. That's Ernie Martin and Caldwell. Never.
Oh, yeah.
Never, ever, ever, because...
Well, most of the city council, that council, Wynad Coast, even her, she's questionable. And what was his name? He left, that's right, he's in the Senate now.
But he left and went to the Senate, right?
Yeah, Howard Mocho. And he was kind of on our side, but he's not a Senate. I don't know. Who's replacing him? I don't know. But I've been going to the city council for about the last year and testifying. And I look at these councilmen, and they it's like they're emotional. I mean, there are folks that are testifying that are crying about the conditions they're living under, being homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And these people just like, no big deal, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, too bad on you, you know. And what these folks need, and I told them that too. I said, you guys need to go on the streets with dirty clothes and no ID and no nothing, and live there for a couple of months. And then try and live in a homeless shelter with bed bugs and fights every night and a staff that could give a darn less and the management that basically steals the people's stuff, you know. I mean, then you'll understand real well. But they go to work in their air conditioned car, go to their air conditioned office, go to their air conditioned hearings, and life is good.
Well, that putting on dirty clothes and going out to the streets and all would just compliment their dirty hands, because most of them are taking money for special interests, and they tell us, and they vote with reservations, and nothing seems to fit. It's a shock to our common senses. Chuni, go ahead. You have a comment?
Well, Carol, you know, you were talking about that supposedly new office that the mayor wants to set up, and it is actually in the ORI, you know, item. It's $576,000 for the city, for CDBG eligible administrative and planning expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Develop and document a strategic affordable housing plan to be used for the city's affordable housing project and in connection with the city's housing first initiative.
Now,
so,
let me get this. Let me get this right. ORI, the company or the nonprofit that had the wellness center and got millions already, is now going to receive.
No. You know, you were talking about the mayor wanting to set up a new little office.
Right, I got that. You mentioned ORA with that office.
They, from what I understand, the HUD is willing to give the mayor $576,000.
Okay, got that.
Little office from the ORI funds.
Okay, from the ORI funds, if ORI pays back.
Oh. Yeah, that's the one. And then there's one more. So Todd gave the mayor the option. Either he can get some money for his Neiman Marcus fire station in Haula, or he can use that same money for the rehabilitation of Pau'ahi Hale, or he can rehabilitate the Kanoa Apartments affordable housing project in Kalihi, or he can rehabilitate bachelor's quarters in Eva. So the mayor has the choice whether he wants to build his Neiman Marcus fire station or he wants to put the money where he claims he's concerned about the homeless people that I'm sure needs it more than a, you know, fire station that's not going to improve the fire safety in Haula.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. Can I can come in for a minute, too? It's so pathetic. It's so pathetic. But, I mean, see, for years and years, like you said, this is a failed policy. For years and years, they received.
Go ahead. You there, Dave? I lost you there, my friend.
You
go ahead. Just keep talking.
It's muffled. I'll just listen on the the radio.
Okay.
But anyway, this is what's happening. And the demand is so huge. I hear there's a lot. We need about 15,000 affordable units for this next year and the year after that. You know,
right?
And we have maybe 500 or so. That's unbelievable.
Here's an example in this letter of 2013 from HUD to the city. Overall, the city has had, this is significant performance conclusions. Overall, the city has had capacity issues with its management of the CDB and home programs as follows. Since program 2008, the city has failed the CDB timeliness test every other year. On May 2nd, 2013, the city had a balance in line of credit control system and revolving loan that was 2.7 times the city's annual allocation, thus failing to the timeliness standard of a 1.5 ratio. Such failures repeated on May 2nd, 2014 may result in a reduction of the city's next CDB grant by 100% of the amount in access. And this man is able to come stand on TV and get the attention of the TV stations to disseminate nonsense, how he's going to put people on the bus and on the plane and send them back to where they came from. Well, first of all, we all come by plane pretty much. And does that mean that this law can be applied to anybody, a loudmouth radio talk show host or environmentalist?
Oh, yeah.
We'll just pick them up, too, and put them on the plane. And where do you send them back to, guys? Right? I mean, what citizen... I don't believe that's constitutionally sound, that you can approach someone. And why not? I have a thought, Caldwell, if you're listening. I have a thought, and I believe that instead of challenging the people that were shipped here, probably against their will, were shipped here, I suggest you contact and file a legal action against the mayors, because clearly if you know where they came from and if you know factually that they were put on a plane and shipped here, then you should sue the city for impacting you or ask for a federal investigation for conspiracy to commit loitering or fecating on the sidewalks or sleeping on the sidewalk. You know, that it takes minds meeting together to commit a crime, and it's interstate, so it should warrant some federal consideration, right? So this guy, all of his stuff is smoke and mirrors, it's misplaced, and when you can take the taxpayers' monies, and they're senior citizens needing homes, they've budgeted themselves, retired, and find themselves in a difficult position now, and can't afford it, and they too become homeless. There's all kinds of situations. And yet, we tolerate seeing this guy with that palaka shirt or whatever that is. I mean, I'm going to start, from now on out, I'm going to start wearing a shirt that's, and say, it's made of cotton, so I'll have my connections to the plantation. So people should, you know, relate to me too, because I'm from the plantation, right? This guy is no bit more connected to the plantation than
the plantation owners,
than the Queen of England. I mean, it's really sad, and the saddest part and the most difficult part to accept is that we as taxpayers don't even speak out. We don't. We just let this guy, because he's getting rid of the homeless, but in reality, it's giving you the perfect example that he does not know what he's doing. He's only serving special interests.
Well,
he doesn't have Europe. The city's issues are not in hand. And for him to advocate, June, and you said that the 25 sites they considered, well, just take one and look at the choice that he was considering, a place that has toxic waste, that was a landfill. The reason he's fleeing from that whole area is because he know that as soon as it plopped down and you're exposing children to it, then there's going to be a liability on the part of himself and others.
Yeah, but we have yet to get that 25 study list yet.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, if it's 25, then he really is a good liar. But again, and why would you not disclose that anyway?
Yeah, we're still waiting for that list to be made public.
Well, and this is consistent with his practices. You see, he taunts you, he flirts with you, he then cajoles you, and then he thrusts it down your throat.
Uh-huh.
It's like giving a child castor oil in the old days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Give him some candy, but still at the end, he's still going to have to swallow the castor oil. So this is a taxpayer. No matter what it is that Kurt Caldwell presents, it's still going to be as nasty as castor oil.
Well, Carol, can I also add, you know, you talk about public not pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience, when you push back and question, the mayor also has his PR group, and they will try to isolate you, and then they will try to vilify you.
Well, we all know we are all jerks. So what loss? I mean, the issue is the issue, you know.
Yeah, but again, it is just very disingenuous when instead of talking about issues and and having a factual dialogue,
mm-hmm.
when people push back, he will send his pit bulls on you, and they will start saying things about you.
well,
public.
Okay, well, we'll take that as being yet another nasty trait of him, but it's not to warn or discourage. I don't like off.
Oh, no, definitely not.
I would say bring it on and say what you got to say. Print is in it out there. It doesn't matter. This is about democracy. It's about openness. It's about transparency and good government, not failed policy. So
definitely.
Yeah, so the thing is, yeah, I can tell you a thousand reasons why I shouldn't say and do what I'm doing. But I can only tell you one reason that's dear to me, and that is I have that right, and when I see a train rolling down the track about to crash, I have a right to alert people and say, oh, my God, you better get off of that train. It's a derailment.
Definitely, definitely.
So, you know, I don't like to be the one to propagate warnings such as that. It is what it is. And the cost of democracy is just that. You got to put your head on the chopping block sometimes.
The reason why I'm saying is that, again, the mayor is squandering taxpayers' money when he's involved in that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would say that looking at this letter again, this is another point that HUD admonishes the city. The city has on occasion targeted CDBG funds to projects that encountered predictable delays that the city did not factor into the overall timely implementation of its CDB program. HUD monitoring reveal CDBG eligible use and national objective weaknesses in the city's ongoing management of open and completed activities still within the eligible use period. Another one, HUD monitoring findings require the city to reimburse CDBG program $7,924,000 with non-federal funds. However, to date, the city has failed to come to an agreement with HUD and the sub-recipient to resolve the repayment issue. So, in other words, you see how strong in the church this letter is in reminding and calling them on the carpet. And then in the most recent act, here, just keep it. And then, oh, and by the way, the remainder of it, just go squander it too. Divert it to help. And this is my conclusion now. I may not be any facts to this, but I'm going to take the liberty of concluding this. If you don't need a fire department or station that large, and we do know that down the way there's going to be an expansion of developments and all, then, and you don't require them to build infrastructure to enhance the EMS services and the fire services, then you are simply never going to build this big fire station and tell them, well, we can't respond to you because you expanded. No, they're going to respond. So taxpayers' dollars that should have been used for affordable homes is going to go into a fire station now, and then they're going to pay some people to manage affordable housing and of some $500,000 plus. That's ludicrous. That's absolutely consistent. It's one of the best examples that when you see Kurt Caldwell on TV with his smoke and mirror regime, then you should be able to conclude that it's more the same. It's magic. And that's all it is. Simply magic.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, may I add too that, you know, we come from a family of firemen. You know, my husband's grandfather was buried in his fireman's uniform, and he has, you know, four generations of firefighters. And we have many firefighters who just think that this whole controversy is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we even have retired fire commissioners who tell us that. So this again is really not about fire safety, firefighting. This again is about an abusive behavior of, you know, abusing funds and lack of priorities. You know, it's just totally ludicrous, like you said, you know, when there's so much needs for the homeless and seriously too, the CDBG funds are not for capital improvements. CDBG funds are usually used for non-profit organization.
But they remember Whitty Oakland when they first got in and said, oh, no, we're going to reject some of the money, and the amount that we do get, we're going to do something with sidewalks and not give to the non-profits. How many non-profits have been impacted by this new strategy?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just, and again, it brings back to my personal observation, is that this mayor is using Texas as his private piggy bank.
Mm-hmm.
Without public engagement, mm-hmm, and without public scrutiny, and I think that is wrong.
Well, the comment that I want to make is simple. While Kirk Caldwell is masquerading and doing all of these things that I believe is just not consistent with good government, I think the greater offense is Mazie Hirono, Colleen Hanabusa, the full state legislature, the Democratic-headed, to allow federal monies to flow into the hands of the city with specific intent. They know the nature and the circumstances and the conditions of homeless and affordable homes here in the state. That's part of their representation. When they go off to Washington, they're supposed to be looking for our best interests. And so I put some of the burden in their laps as well to say, this is why when you vote again, and I'm a Democrat, I would never thought I would say just wholesale, just for the hell of it, just vote them out, because they're not representing us. Hanabusa is no longer there, but Takai is going to go there. Is he going to take the same policy? Gabbard going there. They should be monitoring and shepherding good government. Chats should be there. When federal agencies turn around after years of admonishment and holding people's feet to the fire and then abandon that stance and walk away, and now it doesn't enhance our homeless population. It doesn't enhance anything, and it impacts senior citizen and retiring in affordable homes, the whole system is collapsing, or has collapsed, you know.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Mm-hmm.
So who supervises the Hawaii HUD office?
Chandler, but there's a lady in San Francisco. I've communicated with her, but Chandler, and you're talking about lackluster. And this guy is not going to step out in front of the tractor-trailer truck, because in that truck would be Gabbard, Hirono, Schatz, Hanabusa. Because, you see, once they get that federal money in, once it's in their hand, doesn't matter how squandered, they want to keep it. And they enhance that. And I fought them and hold those guys accountable as much as I do Caldwell. Because to boast that you're bringing money in from the federal system is one thing. To be able to stand up and say, I made sure that I shepherded this money and we saw the money. When they read the paper in the morning and see that the homeless issues are not resolved, and we see that HUD is saying you owe this money, you failed to spend it, that should have been a catalyst right there on the part of Gabbard, Hirono, Hanabusa, Schatz. That didn't need a phone call from anybody. They should be monitoring that. If they are boasting they're bringing the money in, then how is it being spent? Right? How efficient are we? How responsible are we? So that's why I say, from top to bottom, it's about time we not become partisan, but as a measure and a means of just cleaning house, looking at the expiration date on canned food, for example, is where you, when you clean the house, okay, I don't eat this. I hadn't eaten this in 9 years, so, you know, expiration date is 2001. Get rid of it. So that's part of being a senator, congressperson. But instead, they allow, and they've never spoken up, hey, Caldwell, tone down. You're not going to put anybody on this plane. You're not going to put people over at Sand Island. What are you thinking about, dude? You got PCBs over there. You got the Sand Island treatment plant, a sulfur dioxide and hydrogen sulfide and in the air. And you're going to put children there? You're going to put people that are already, their health is compromised? What are you thinking, Mr. Democratic Mayor? What are you thinking? Who probably wants to be governor? We are Democrats. We're supposed to care about the little guy, right? But instead, have you seen, I've never seen the Republicans be so adamant about moving people around and shuffling them around and arresting them, but we are told, look at the Republicans, they don't care about people. So I submit this, if we're able to be critical of the Republicans for their supposedly hatred of the little man, then damn, I don't want to see what a real Democratic Party can really do. Because we don't call them on the carpet. And this is, this CDB, I read the article in the paper and it was, it pointed out some things, but someone should have been pounding the table and still should pound the table. Call for an investigation. How is it that one man can act unilaterally and waive all of this money and the abuse? And they say in that article somewhere mentioned that ORI, they haven't been in conversation with them to know what it is, but they might place some exams. I'm paraphrasing. Might place some conditions to try and get some of the money back. I can tell you where you can start getting some of the money back, folks. Just go to Hanneman, go to Ernie Martin, go to Caldwell and say, you know that money you got from ORI, or did you get money from ORI? If you did, give it back. Let's start there. But if you're going to protect them and tell the public, we are considering getting it back, well, no, you have an obligation to get it back because it was spent improperly. Go ahead, June, if you like. You there?
Oh yeah, my question was, so if Chandler is doing his job here in Hawaii, so is St. Francisco whom he has to report to? Is that how it works?
Right.
Then St. Francisco reports to Washington D.C.
Uh huh.
Okay. So our next step would be to ask questions of San Francisco and then Washington, D.C.
Well, we're on the same sheet here. I was going to give the number for some of you that are out there that care to call and care to get involved. Mark A. Chandler, Director, Office of Community Planning and Development. You're talking about a milk-toasty type of guy. He talks, and then the only guy that I've ever spoken to who you call up, and the first day he tells you, oh, my God, I'm sharpening my fangs. We won't tolerate any abuse of federal funds. No, it is strict. The next conversation about the same matter. Well, you know, they bought a spaceship, but we believe that somehow it would benefit the homeless population with a shelter, with a spaceship. Really? That's not consistent with the law, and not even consistent with what you said in your admonishment. So his phone number is 808-457-4678. He is the Office of Community Planning and Development at HUD. And I'm sorry, this, you know, watching this thing about pushing the homeless and talk about the, and look at all millions of dollars, millions, where the agency that's dealing it out is telling them, you're not spending it. You're not timely. And all we get is, well, you know, there's more people pissing on the streets and defecating in corners. We need to remove them. I need another law passed. That's insanity. We've lost control. I mean, if you think in other instances of good government, we have no control. Nothing. You might as well be sitting in a car electronically driven now, because that's what our government is. Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hi, Carol again. Listen, you know, when I think of HUD, I think of, this is a mind-boggling statistic that I think people should know, but way back in 1978, HUD was spending $83 billion, and that would be like $150 billion in our money, and today's inflation adjusted, for low-income housing. Mm-hmm. And we're I think it's like about $6 billion in HUD. Actually, they're not building any new affordable housing, period, across this country. They have a few programs like the one you've been mentioning, the one where they rehab buildings and that kind of stuff, but that's not it. And that's about $1.5 billion they spend on homeless shelter funding and that kind of stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Basically bandages just to, you know, what this is just a cover up of, you know, I think a lot of people are so ashamed, or either that or they don't have a consciousness.
This is what you get. This behavior is what you get with any entity being in place for 40 some years or more, and never being called on the carpet, and the scratch my back thugs, and that's what we got. It's a problem, and I don't discern or try to divide the greatest of importance, because try to put yourself as a senior citizen who worked your butt off, retired. And now your taxes and the cost of living has increased where it you see, then we don't even address that group of people that are just teetering on failure. And I would hate to think what the stress is. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
And then this guy can stand there and be so adamant about it and so flamboyant about his fixing the symptoms that suggests his policies and his inability to manage. You follow. So, for example, here's another comment in the significant performance conclusion of these letters. HUD writes about the city. As a result of the city's recent history of unsatisfactory performance, lack of effective management systems in place to ensure program compliance, failure to timely resolve open findings and concerns about the city's ongoing capacity to manage its CDBG funds, HUD has determined that the city and the county of Honolulu is a high-risk grantee. And yet, our state senators, the Shots, the Conabuses, the whatever name I keep... Hirano, and you know, and then I see this morning... there is Hirano's face in the newspaper saying the veterans thing is improving now. Whoa, stop. How did it get to be so bad, Mr. Hirano? I mean, what is your job up there doing? What are you doing? And I do know factually that you've had other veterans to go and complain to you way before this happened, and you did nothing. But this is the crazy part about this town. People can violate you. And then in turn show up with no conscience, just to mend and put the cosmetics on to present themselves, serve themselves up as a good guy.
Well, what they have to do, they have to demonize the folks that are most in trouble. I mean, the poor, the people that are homeless, and say, they're just a bunch of drunks and drug addicts and that kind of stuff, you know, and not find out that a whole lot of them are victims of a $7.25 minimum wage, well, going up to what, $8?
Hey, two more years. This is my prediction. And my prediction, I hate to say this, and I hate the thought of it, a one-sided, one-type government, one-party government. But with these things coming out and showing how HUD and that's supposed to be caring for the little man, the Democratic Party, I'm hoping, and this is insanity, I'm hoping we find a president that is Republican, a Senate that is Republican, a House that is Republican. You know why? There's nothing like this bad taste in my mouth to be screwed by friends. And to have nothing rises to the level of that, folks.
It's so sad, I think, especially here in Hawaii.
I would rather see a one-sided government than to continue to have to tolerate and digest the obvious neglect and the abuse of power and the disrespect from the voter. I really.
Yeah, well, this is not an accountability. I really think if the Republicans get total control, I think things will be back to who was his name? Hoover'sville again, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, but again,
it's going to be a lot of you know.
Well, I mean, as frightening as it sounds, what is a better alternative? We've invested our trust.
Right.
We've tolerated them for a long time, and then it's gotten, you know, they tell us, well, you know, the Republicans like to install government and tell us what, well, wait, let me get this right. The Democratic Party can only present us to the Clintons, right? And in the beginning, and now the monarchy of the Clintons again. And this whole failed policy, they won't support their own existing president. So what does that tell you? We need change, man. And whatever, however drastic it is, we need change, you know.
Well, because I remember a very progressive Democratic Party here in Hawaii. And I remember, we took over back right back in 1954. The unions got together and everybody and the different ethnic groups, and they said, yeah, we're tired of this Big Five.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was unbelievable. I mean, we were the socialized, liberal state of Hawaii that was really paying attention to the people. We really started getting quite a middle class, and the folks were getting wages and working conditions and on and on. And, here's what happened. Okay, Reaganomics, okay? Reagan happened. And that whole mentality. And unfortunately, I think the new Democrats that we have now are, they don't have a historic memory of things. And unfortunately, I guess their grandparents and their parents didn't tell them how important it was to stay progressively Democrat.
Right, right. Well, but they're not now. And, I mean, when you got Democrats walking down the street saying, we're going to put people behind a sewage treatment plant and incarcerate them, we're going to incarcerate them and then put them on planes and ship them out, and we're going to do all of that, and we're going to take the money that it was intended for these people and these programs to make a better life for us all, and we don't. Reaganism? Uh-uh. I think what it is fraudism. And I think the Democratic Party, as much as I love the Democratic Party in the old days, has become a fraudulent practice.
Yeah.
And until it changed, nothing's going to be. And it's going to invite new faces.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's so sad.
I'm thinking now Cam Cavazo can't be so bad. You know? Because what is the difference between a guy that take your money and lie to you and then take your land, like in Chun's situation, and to clearly it's wrong, it's immoral, but they have no morals about it.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? It's what's moral, what's right and wrong, you know.
So this isn't about politics and saying go down and vote for the other fella. This is about saying something's very sick, and unless there's some major surgery conducted to extract this tumor.
Well, Carol, you to keep up the good work, and I'm determined as I can as far as speaking up, and you know, let these folks know, you know,
okay,
we're serious about this, and that's all we can do.
Well, we'll keep talking. All right. Well, thank you. We're down in the last seconds. Chun, you have any closing comment, real quick? Anyway, appreciate you joining in, folks, and thank you for listening. We'll be back, and if you're going to throw rocks at me, throw big ones, because it's just painful to watch this thing unfold and no accountability, and to then present it to us as if we have to take it because we have no other choice. It's wrong. Aloha. Thank you.
This has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM KWAI Honolulu.